This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Get two free. Visit windownation.com. I'm Dave Dildine, WTOP Traffic.
Let's get our forecast now from Veronica Johnson.
Nice evening out with just some scattered clouds. Temperatures will drop from the 70s to the 60s. Now, by morning, we'll be mostly cloudy. We'll start out between 45 and 52 degrees. It's going to be dry for the morning rush, but starting at lunchtime, expect some showers until 11 p.m. Highs in the upper 60s. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
76 in the nation's capital.
659.
You're listening to WTOP, Washington's news, traffic, and weather station.
WTOP News. Facts matter.
Good evening. I'm Sean Anderson.
I'm Ann Kramer. Coming up,
a full jury has been chosen for former President Trump's hush money trial in New York. They still have to choose some alternates.
We'll get the latest from CBS News in just seconds. And at 7:15, we're going to go live to Chief Election and Campaign Correspondent for CBS, Robert Costa, who is in Manhattan.
A fictional book or manifesto, how a Google document led to the arrest of an area high schooler. And Mike Murillo.
A hit and run near the National Mall last year left a tourist dead. Now a D.C. man has been indicted in the case.
Three sent to the hospital, including two kids, after a school bus crashes into a Virginia DMV building. I'm Nick Iannelli.
A close call between two planes at Reagan National. It happened earlier today.
It's 7 o'clock.
Trump criminal trial jury seated.
Seven men and five women.
House Speaker to bring foreign aid bills to floor.
I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing.
U.S. announces new sanctions on Iran.
What we're trying to do is prevent this conflict from really getting out of hand.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A jury is seated in former President Trump's Manhattan criminal trial involving alleged hush money payments and the falsifying of business records. CBS's Alice Gaynor outside the courthouse in Manhattan.
They have now selected 12 jurors and at least one alternate. They're aiming to pick six alternates altogether. They'll resume tomorrow because court has adjourned for the day. As for the jobs, the occupations of these jurors who were selected this afternoon, they range from security engineer to physical therapist, speech therapist, and investment banker.
Trump saying on his way out of the courthouse today.
I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning, but I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial.
U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson, despite facing opposition from members of his own party, says he plans to bring multiple foreign aid bills to the floor for a vote this weekend. It includes aid for Ukraine.
I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that because we have to do the right thing and history will judge us.
CBS's Olivia Gazis at the G7 summit in Italy says Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Ukraine's foreign minister today.
Both he and Blinken stressed the importance and the urgency of the U.S. Congress finally passing that $60 billion supplemental that has been stuck for more than 6 months.
The U.S. and U.K. slapped new sanctions on Iran and its drone production just days after its drone and missile attack on Israel. Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, says the sanctions show the U.S.'s support for Israel.
I think it probably will have an effect in the sense that saying they won't be alone and they maybe don't have to do anything as forceful as they might have liked to do it.
Police arrest pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University, including Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's daughter. It comes a day after the school's president testified before Congress about anti-Semitism on campus. CBS News New York's Doug Williams.
NYPD officers in riot gear began walking down to 114th Street and Broadway. They then closed the street. Seven police correctional buses made their way in. It was during that time that we now know the NYPD was removing students from that encampment.
Stocks closed mixed on Wall Street. The Dow up 22 points, NASDAQ down 82. Now this.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It is 7:03 here on WTOP, Thursday evening, April 18th, 2024. Upper Marlboro at 67. We're down to the 50s in a few places. The Good evening. I'm Dimitri Sotis with the top local stories we're following this hour. A high schooler's writings have landed him in jail. WTOP's Mike Murillo says the arrest of the 18-year-old comes after police believe a nearly 130-page document the student wrote is a possible manifesto typed ahead of a potential school shooting.
When Montgomery County Police and the FBI began looking into the document, they noticed the characteristics and situations involving the main character were very similar to the student, 18-year-old Andrea Ia, who goes by Alex. According to court documents, the writings were about an Asian male main character who is transgender, has problems in his home life, and wants to shoot up a school. The writings included a line in which the character said they would cherry-pick the classrooms that were the easiest targets. While the student called the events and the characters fictional in the document, the words were enough for police to get a search warrant for his Rockville home, where on his devices they found online searches for school shootings, a map of Wooten High School, and even an image that depicts a school shooting with the shooter labeled "Me." Investigators also revealed the student was hospitalized twice in the past for threatening to shoot up a school and harm himself. Ia is charged with making a threat of mass violence. It doesn't appear any weapons were found in his home. Montgomery County Public Schools says the student hasn't been physically back in the classroom since 2022 and has been learning virtually. Security has been stepped up around county schools. Mike Murillo, WTOP News.
You may remember that hit and run outside the White House back in July of last year that left a pedestrian dead. Today, a D.C. man behind the wheel of that car was indicted by a grand jury. 33-year-old Benjamin Robertson is charged with second-degree murder of a senior citizen, assault with a dangerous weapon, fleeing law enforcement, and other charges. Police say Robertson was racing away from Secret Service officers who were trying to stop him at the intersection of 17th and Constitution when his car hit 75-year-old Bing Wong and his 13-year-old granddaughter. Wong, who was visiting his family from Philadelphia, later died. His granddaughter suffered minor injuries. We're learning more about a crash in Fairfax County from early today involving a school bus. Three people were taken to the hospital after the bus crashed into a Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles building. It happened in Fairfax at the intersection of Braddock and Burke Station Roads. WTOP's Nick Iannelli reports from the scene.
The three who had to be taken to the hospital include the school bus driver and two kids. All are expected to be okay. Fairfax County police say the bus driver swerved and crashed into the DMV building after a second vehicle failed to yield. The driver of that other vehicle was given a ticket for failing to yield. There's damage to the DMV building, a big dent in the wall where the bus hit, and when some DMV customers showed up today hoping to take care of some business, they were surprised to find that the building had been closed.
It's unexpected. I just found out when I got here, so I wish I knew this a little sooner. I'll probably have to take off another day and come back.
In Fairfax County, Nick Iannelli, WTOP News.
You'll have to check your speed if you're driving along this busy roadway in Montgomery County. The speed limit is dropping after a deadly pedestrian crash there late last year. Let's get the story from WTOP's Scott Gelman.
Right now, the speed limit here along a busy stretch of westbound Veers Mill Road in Twin Brook is 40. But Eric Florence with the Maryland State Highway Administration says it's being lowered.
There's data supporting reducing the speed limit down to 35 in the westbound direction as well.
Some of that data comes from a speed study. It found that many drivers here are usually going around 45. The speed limit change is for the stretch between Edmonston Drive and Twin Brook Parkway.
When you have vehicles driving faster than the posted speed, it's because the character of the roadway tells them, it suggests to them that they can safely drive that speed.
As part of a resurfacing project here, the lanes are getting smaller. Florence is expecting that to force drivers to slow down too. Last December, a pedestrian crossing the street here near Atlantic Avenue was hit and killed. In Rockville, Scott Gelman, WTOP News.
707, there was a close call involving two passenger jets this morning at Reagan National Airport.
Stop. We were cleared to cross runway 4.
That audio from liveatc.net. The FAA says an air traffic controller told a Southwest Airlines flight to cross runway 4 while a JetBlue plane was starting its takeoff roll on the same runway. There was no actual collision. Nobody hurt that we know of. Investigators say it happened at 7:41 a.m., and they are now, of course, looking into this. Coming up here on WTOP, D.C.'s newest restaurant is in one of the city's oldest buildings. Stay with us. Traffic and weather in 30 seconds.
At Booz Allen, we help federal agencies unlock the power of AI for good. As the trusted leader in AI for the nation, we're transforming our country with solutions that protect and propel our society toward positive outcomes. Chart the future of AI with Booz Allen, where humans build it, humans power it, and humans thrive from it. Visit BoozAllen.com/AI. That's BoozAllen.com/AI.
708.
Michael and Son's Precision AC Tune-Up for only $49. Michael and Son.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks on WTOP. Let's go to Bob Immler in the traffic center.
In the district, Constitution Avenue is closed in both directions between 12th and 14th in Northwest, and that because of police activity. If you're coming north out of the 12th Street Tunnel, you must make the right turn onto Constitution Avenue. You will not be able to go straight across the intersection. Southbound 395 on the Case Bridge, that broken down car has moved on, so the lanes are open there. But 395 northbound is still jammed from the Beltway, getting up to a point after Glebe Road. Still working on the investigation around the crash, but now you've got three lanes getting by to the left. But delays do start at the Beltway. Well, outer loop of the Beltway, a lot of folks have been using that because of 395, and as a result, we've got delays back before Van Dorn Street in the delay. In the local lanes, crash along the right side, but really isn't adding too much to those delays. I 395 north, I see, is really not nearly as bad as it was getting up to a point near Glebe Road, just after Glebe Road. Delays now start just before King Street, so a lot better than it was. 95 south, briefly slow, getting over the Occoquan. Interloop on the brakes at 123, getting into Maryland, and 66 is doing all right. Maryland Beltway through Montgomery County doing fine. Interloop at Central Avenue in Prince George's County, crash on the right side at the beginning of the ramp that takes you onto eastbound Central Avenue. That is a crash, and you can get around it to make the exit. On 50 out to the Bay Bridge, all is quiet. WTOP Newsroom furnished by Regency Furniture. Shop Regency for the best dining room, living room, and bedroom sets, plus brand name mattresses. Affordable never looks so good. Bob Inler, WTOP Traffic.
Now to Veronica Johnson, 7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist.
Expect increasing clouds late this evening, and it is going to be a mostly cloudy Friday coming our way. Not as pretty, cooler, and we'll be dealing with some rain showers. So here this evening, those temperatures will drop from the 70s to the 60s. Pleasant for your evening. Overnight, 45 to 52 degrees, with mostly cloudy skies to start your Friday and looking dry for Friday morning. Meanwhile, I've got showers on tap after 1 p.m. and just past 11 p.m. Light showers expected with temperatures topping out just under 70 degrees. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
In Upper Marlboro this evening, 67, Woodbridge 75, and D.C. 73. Gradually, those temperatures falling into the 50s and even down to 46 degrees in a few suburban areas overnight. We're brought to you by Long Fence. Save 25% on decks, pavers, and fences. 6 months, no payment, no interest. Conditions apply. Go to longfence.com. Money News 10 and 40 past the hour as we go to Jeff Claybaugh.
Existing home sales fell last month. All cash buyers accounted for 1 in 4 sales. EV maker Rivian is cutting jobs for the second time this year. French restaurant Le Grand Boucherie has opened its 14,000 square foot two-level restaurant in the historic Federal American Bank building at 14th and G Northwest. The Dow finished Thursday session up 22 points. The Nasdaq lost 82. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP News.
Bank of America has powerful digital solutions for local and global businesses, so you can make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Coming up here on WTOP, we have breaking news as 7 men and 5 women have been selected to serve as jurors in the first criminal trial of former President Trump. They do still have to do a little work to seat the rest of the alternates. We'll be going live to Robert Costa of CBS News, who'll join us from Manhattan. Stay with us this evening on WTOP.
Here's Mark Johnson, Vice President of Technology for the U.S. Federal Market at IBM, on ways to apply generative AI. On the show, Adopting a Use Case-Driven Approach, sponsored by IBM.
It's still finding those use cases, applying the generative AI to it, seeing what comes out, and then iterating back again. As we see some interesting things we discover, we realize we want to know more questions.
To hear the whole discussion, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search IBM.
Before you use AI to transform your agency, you need to begin with trust. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/federal. IBM. Let's create.
Later this half hour on WTOP, a qualified job applicant says she didn't get the job only because she does not wear makeup. And more from WTOP, a live update from Manhattan on the Trump trial in 60 seconds.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
It's 7:14.
Breaking news on WTOP.
A jury of 12 people has been seated in former President Trump's hush money trial in New York. Most alternates must still now be selected. The rapid progress, though, moves the case closer to opening statements and weeks of testimony in a case charging Mr. Trump with falsifying business records to suppress stories about his sex life in the final days of the 2016 election. Let's take you live tonight to Manhattan and CBS News Chief Election and Campaign Correspondent Robert Costa. Thank you, Bob, for a little of your time. At one point today, it looked like it was one step forward, two steps back. A couple of jurors were removed from the panel, and then we hear that the whole jury is sworn in. How did the day go? How did this turn around?
In short, 7-5-7-12. In other words, the day began with seven jurors seated. It went down to five after one nurse said she just believed she couldn't protect her own identity. Too many people already knew who she was. She was dismissed from the jury. Another person was dismissed from the jury for allegedly tearing down conservative posters years ago. And so it went down to five. And then there was a talk of delay here at the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. But ultimately, the judge, the prosecutors, Trump's legal team quickly put together a jury in the ensuing hours.
Now, we can't necessarily go through the description of each juror, but I have been seeing anecdotal reports that some of these folks say, you know, I don't follow the news that closely. I don't follow Trump that closely. Is this the type of person that at least one side has been looking to put on the jury?
All of those answers raise skepticism with me as a reporter. How could you not know much about Trump,
right,
a global figure, former president? But we do have a mix of people here on this jury, and I've been covering it very closely, who believe they can be impartial, even though they know who Trump is. And some of them follow who Trump is. Well, just a really quick snapshot. There's an engineer, a physical therapist, and a banker, among others. The banker says they follow Michael Cohen, one of the key witnesses in this case, on social media. They also follow Trump.
Is there reason to believe that the jurors are being selected carefully? I only say that because of this morning's trouble. It seems like things were shaky for a while.
It better be careful if you're the prosecution, because, look, if there's a problem with the juror down the line, you risk a mistrial. And so both sides here are trying to make sure that this thing is pretty steady. And for the prosecution's a lot on the line. If this is moving too quickly and the judge is moving too quickly towards opening statements, it does put the prosecution potentially at risk. But the prosecutors and the judge here don't want to see unnecessary delay.
What was the dispute over witnesses today?
We're looking at a few ongoing disputes. There's a dispute over witnesses about what Trump can say about them. That's related to the gag order. There's going to be some kind of adjudication of the gag order sometime next week. In very brief terms, Trump's allowed to talk about the judge. He's allowed to talk about the district attorney. He's not allowed to talk about witnesses or jurors. But their question is, what can he do on social media? Can he repost an article that does reference some of the witnesses, like Michael Cohen, or not? Where are the lines drawn? They seem a bit blurry in the eyes of the Trump legal team, so they're likely to be clarified.
As we finish up with our discussion tonight, Bob, may I lean on your long experience covering Donald Trump? You've interviewed him one-on-one. You've sat at tables with other reporters and spoken to him. How would you describe that demeanor? I can't say it's necessarily anger. It looks like bewilderment sometimes based on the court sketches. I just wonder what may be going through his mind.
One thing that was evident today, former President Donald Trump was very cold. The room was chilly inside the Lower Manhattan courthouse, and he remarked to reporters several times, cold in here, very cold. And that was essentially his mindset today, to be candid.
Okay, Bob, we'll talk again soon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Robert Costa, live on WTOP, CBS News chief election and campaign correspondent, covering the Trump hush money trial. Top stories here on WTOP, a vote on aid to Ukraine, Israel, and elsewhere expected in the U.S. House this weekend. There was a close call between two passenger planes at Reagan National earlier today. Keep it here for full details on these stories in the minutes ahead. We are brought to you by Finch AI, driving smarter decisions and increasing productivity at speed and scale. Learn more at FinchAI.com. We're going to go to Bob Immler in the WTOP Traffic Center.
Well, 395 northbound, heavy and slow, starting right around King Street now, getting to a point after Glebe Road. The crash is now entirely on the right shoulder. The investigation still going on, maybe crowding the right lane, but only a bit of a slowdown there now, much better than what we had. Outer loop delay still, though, from about Van Dorn to the Wilson Bridge. At last report, still had the crash in the local lanes along the right side of the roadway. I think they finally got that to the shoulder, too, so things are starting to ease up there. And on 95 South, slow mainly from Route 1 over the Occoquan to 123. 66 is doing all right. Inner loop a bit heavy through Tysons to the American Legion Bridge still, and through Bethesda and Silver Spring as well. Prince George's Beltway inner loop, that is heavy and slow from about Route 50 getting to Central Avenue. There is a crash getting by to the left. Three lanes get by to the left. It's right at the beginning of the ramp that takes you onto eastbound Central Avenue. And so you'll have to get around the crash before you can make your exit there. And 50 out to the Bay Bridge without delay. 95 in the Baltimore-Washington Parkway doing all right. Constitution Avenue, that is still closed to northwest between 12th and 14th. Police activity there. If you're coming out of the 12th Street Tunnel headed northbound, you'll have to make the right turn on Constitution. Save on best-of-season produce at Whole Foods Market. Get four medium Hass avocados for $4 with Prime through April 23rd. While supplies last, shop in-store or online. Terms apply. Bob Immler, WTOP Traffic.
Now we're going to Veronica Johnson. She's 7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist.
Scattered clouds today, but toasty, warm. We're close to 80 degrees earlier today. Now this evening, our temperatures will drop into the lower 70s and 60s. And it's going to be dry through your evening as well as your overnight and even early Friday morning. But clouds will be moving in. We'll turn mostly cloudy and be that way for first thing Friday. So back to a gray start for us. Temperatures 45 to 52 degrees for Friday morning and just under 70 degrees for Friday afternoon with scattered showers from 1 p.m. just past 11 p.m. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
In Hyattsville tonight, 68, Herndon 73, Foggy Bottom 72 degrees. Some of us could fall down to 46 overnight in a few suburbs. We're brought to you by Len the Plumber Heating and Air. Trusted same-day service 7 days a week. Coming up on WTOP.
Latino families, kids, and parents say they need more information on substance use prevention. I'm Kate Ryan.
And a lawsuit accusing Sheetz of discrimination, the gas station and food chain. We'll have more about that coming up. Stay with us here on WTOP.
Hi, I'm Sybil Yaver, a longtime client of Rocky Gorge Animal Hospital. I know how much you love your pet because I love my pets too. And as pet owners, we all want the best care for them. The care, compassion, the cutting-edge technology, plus the patience they show in educating me, I wouldn't take my pets anywhere else.
From everyone at Rocky Gorge, thank you for trusting your pet's care to us. And don't forget, we're here for you and your pets 24/7, 365 days a year. And we'll never forget, nothing warms the heart like a cold nose.
Hi, I'm Patricia Farrick, president of FVC Bank. With me today are Grant Epstein and Lynn Hackney of Community 3, phenomenal real estate developers in the Washington, D.C. urban areas. FVC Bank appreciates the close relationship we have with Community 3.
Take it from us at Community 3. FVC Bank is a great partner.
You can rely on a term sheet from FVC. We have, and you can too.
Visit FVCBank.com. Member FDIC.
Don't pay retail for diamonds. Come to CleanOrigin.com, the lab-grown diamond experts. Mention code RADIO10 for 10% off. That's CleanOrigin.com. Online or one of our retail stores.
You're listening to WTOP News.
7:23, I'm Dimitri Sotis. Thanks for being with us. Fired Loudoun County School Superintendent Scott Ziegler will have to stand trial You may remember last month a judge set aside a misdemeanor conviction for Ziegler. A jury found him guilty of illegally retaliating after he fired a special education teacher over their testimony to a special grand jury investigating the school system's handling of two sexual assaults by the same student at different schools. The new trial is now set for February. Ziegler's lawyer says she's considering all options for an appeal. Researchers and a Montgomery County nonprofit found Latino families say they need more trusted sources of information on preventing and dealing with substance abuse. WTOP's Kate Ryan reports in some cases kids and parents are on the same page.
Amy Lewin, a professor at the University of Maryland's School of Public Health, is the co-author of the survey of Latino families in Montgomery County. And among focus groups of young people, she found
most of them do turn to social media and sometimes to peers for information, and they know that that's not necessarily the best source of information.
Diego Uriburu, executive director of Identity, a nonprofit that serves the Latino community, said the parent focus group members also wanted information.
What's fentanyl? What are the opioids? How to identify when your child needs help? How to talk to your child?
The surveys took place between August and November of last year, and recommendations include coordinating school, community, and government efforts to address substance use in Montgomery County. Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
A major convenience store and gas station chain that's very popular here in Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Ohio has been hit with a federal lawsuit. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says Sheetz discriminated against minority job seekers by automatically weeding out applicants the company deemed to have failed a criminal background check. The lawsuit was filed yesterday, the same day that President Biden stopped at a Sheetz market in western Pennsylvania. The privately run, family-owned company says it does not tolerate discrimination of any kind. Job interviews are stressful enough, but now women have to worry about the amount of makeup they put on. Melissa Weaver says she did really well on an interview and thought she got the job for a VP position. While she had all the qualifications, she was told she did not get the gig because she didn't put enough effort into her appearance, namely her makeup. But she generally does not wear makeup. Weaver says she wore a freshly ironed shirt with a collar and was highly presentable for a job interview.
It was baffling and kind of, I don't know if concerning is the right word. It's just really disheartening.
She says she's still interviewing for jobs and not wearing makeup.
Sports at 25 and 55 on WTOP.
7:25. Let's go to Frank Hanrahan.
Well, a week from tonight, we got the NFL draft. They're doing this one in Detroit, but all eyes on the Commanders with that number 2 overall selection. We'll see what they will do.